Chapter 51. Kate rode the judge's elevator upwards, checking her reflection in the gold-plated panel of elevator buttons. Her makeup looked neutral and classy. Her hair was combed into its judicial chignon, and she wore her favorite gold tweed suit. She had been resting at home for 2 weeks, and during that time her cheek had almost healed. Her shoulder felt better, and she'd ordered the new S500 sedan in glacier white. The Mercedes was pure sublimation, because she was still on her sex diet, though she and Nesbitt had finally segued into light petting, which was officially 10th grade. Also, during that time, Chief Judge Sherman had met with the members of the court, the Chief Judge of the Third Circuit, and the Circuit Executive, to decide what to do about reinstating her. Kate wasn't betting on it. Taking her back would require a federal judge to admit he was wrong, which was highly unlikely. That was why they had appellate courts. The elevator cab opened, and Kate stepped out, strode down the hall to Chief Judge Sherman's chambers, and stood before his door, which was when her sense of humor vanished. She wanted this job, and she would fight to keep it. She could do it now. She felt it inside. What had Val said? When you get yourself right with you, then you can hold your head high. Well, Kate had gotten herself right with her. She was ready to be a judge in a way she hadn't been before. So she raised her chin, squared her shoulders, and twisted the doorknob. "Hello, Mo," Kate said, and Judge Sherman's secretary looked up from her computer keyboard. "Hello, Judge Fanti." Mo's gaze was cool, and if she knew the verdict, she didn't let it show. She swiveled in her seat, holding up a finger. "Wait a minute, please. I'll let him know you're here."
"Sure."
Kate swallowed hard, while Mo picked up the telephone receiver and pressed the intercom button. The door to Sherman's office was closed.
"Judge Fanti is here, Chief," Mo said into the receiver. Then, "Of course."
She hung up and raised her dark gaze to Kate.
"He'll see you now, Judge."
"Thanks." Kate walked forward, opened the door, and almost fell over with surprise. The office was filled to bursting with judges who broke into polite applause, including Chief Judge Sherman. Judge Bonner Menking clapped next to William Sasso and Gloria Sullivan. There were all 18 judges of the Eastern District, and among them, beaming and applauding, were Val and Sam. And in front of the clapping throng stood Jonathan Meriden.
"Huh?"
Kate felt so shocked she didn't know what to say.
"Come to order, please."
Chief Judge Sherman waved the judges into silence, and his hooded eyes met Kate's, his lips pursed.
"Well, Kate, I won't lie to you. You haven't been the easiest judge to manage. And I can't say I agree with you 100% in all things. But you showed enormous bravery, not only in saving the life of Brother Meriden, but in discovering the true murderer of two citizens who came before us seeking justice. In so doing, you brought honor on all of us, and on our court."
Kate felt astounded and touched.
"We judged you too harshly, which may be an occupational hazard. So, we have discussed the matter, and in view of what has happened, our vote was unanimous. We, each of us, respect your talent, abilities, and commitment, and we welcome you back."
Sherman paused with a sly smile.
"And we will weather whatever TV does to us, together, as a court. As long as they get Eli Wallach to play me."
Everyone nodded, and Judge Menking called out,
"Eli Wallach is dead, Ken."
Kate laughed and delivered good news of her own.
"Chief, you should know that they're not doing the Judges at Court series. They're not interested in judges anymore. House husbands are the new judges."
She'd heard it from Micah, who was quitting showbiz and was going to law school, which was basically the same thing.
"Even better," Sherman grinned,
and Meriden raised his hand to speak, his smile genuine, if begrudging.
"And Kate, may I publicly add my gratitude for saving my life, especially when we all know you hate my guts."
Everyone burst into new laughter, and so did Kate, who noticed for the first time that several bottles of Merlot sat uncorked on Sherman's polished conference table, behind rows of filled plastic glasses and a silver foil tray of cheese and pepperoni slices, speared with multicolored toothpicks.
"Speech, Kate," the other judges called out, clapping.
"Speech," Judge Sasso formed his hand megaphone and bellowed,
"And keep it short,"
Judge Gloria Sullivan shouted at him, laughing.
"Bill, hush."
"Thank you. Okay." Kate flashed on the dinner they'd held for her last summer to welcome her to the bench for the first time. "I am deeply sorry for all the embarrassment I caused the court. I apologize to each of you. And thank you for welcoming me back to a job I love. You all said a lot of nice things about me just now. And there's one thing you need to know. I don't deserve a word of it, but I'm going to try."
"Brava! Way to go!"
they shouted, giving her a fresh round of applause.
"And now a toast."
Chief Judge Sherman picked up a glass from the table, walked over and handed it to Kate, giving her a kiss on the cheek.
"Do I need to ask you for a signed release, my dear?"
"Not if you withdraw that misconduct complaint," she answered. And they both laughed as everyone milled around the conference table, picked up glasses of wine, and raised them.
"To Kate,"
Chief Judge Sherman called out, hoisting his glass.
"To Kate,"
they all repeated. Except for Sam, the forgotten law clerk. He stood proudly, basking in the new spotlight that he'd earned merely by not trying to kill his boss. And he called out,
"To Judge Catherine Fanti of the Eastern District of Pennsylvania."
Judge Catherine Fanti. Kate had never heard words so sweet or seen a sight that made her happier. She raised her glass and couldn't speak for a moment. Her eyes brimmed over. And for once, she didn't try to hide her feelings. "Look, Mom," she thought, unaccountably. "Look.